you've noticed through the book of Matthew, it seems like there's this theme of kingdom. There's a kingdom theme. And in the book of Matthew, Jesus, last week we looked at the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray. He taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then at the very end of this passage, in verse 33, at the end of today's passage, the prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," sort of acts like a bookend. Because at the end of this passage today, is the other book in it. Jesus says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." You see, what He's saying at the end of this passage is saying, be passionate about the kingdom of God. Be passionate about the reign of God in your life and in the world. Now, in between these two bookends, are two imperatives or two commands in between these two bookends. Now, today we're going to look at the first imperative, which is actually given twice. The first time in the negative and the second time in the positive. In verse 19, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." The second one, it says, instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So the first imperative is, do not store up on treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, next week, we're going to look at the second imperative. And it's actually given three times, and it says, do not be anxious. It says, do not be anxious. In verse 25, 31, 34, it says, do not be anxious about your life. Verse 31, it says, don't be anxious about what you'll eat, drink, or wear. In verse 34, it says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. So here's the thing. If you battle with anxiety, and I know there are people who do, if you battle with anxiety, I hope that you'll come back next week. If you battle with anxiety, I hope that you will spend this week in prayer. I hope you will pray for me that I can speak clearly and apply God's word. But I also pray I hope you'll pray for yourself as well, that you will come prepared, that God would set you free of the bondage of anxiety. But today we're going to talk about money. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity. I pray that once again you'll help me to speak clearly. I pray that you will save us from distractions, that you'll help us to worship you and to hear what it is you have for us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Today we're talking about money, and I got to be honest, I don't like talking about money from the pulpit because it's difficult and it's uncomfortable. And the reason it's so hard for me to talk about money is that I'm afraid that you're going to think that I want you to increase your giving to Redeemer. I'm afraid that you're going to think that I'm being manipulative or self-serving. So let me just say this right now. That is not, and I'm going to repeat it, that is not entirely without merit. I am, my confession, I am certainly capable of being self-serving, and I am certainly capable of being manipulative. And I do wish that each of you would be inspired to consider giving more than you do. I do wish that each of you would be inspired to consider selling some of your assets like they did in the early church and giving it to the kingdom work of Christ through Redeemer. It is my desire that some of you would be inspired to go to your lawyers and sit down and have a conversation and rewrite your will and consider leaving Redeemer in your will. That's a desire. It is a desire that some of you would be inspired to consider foregoing maybe an upcoming vacation or maybe the new car so that you might give to the kingdom work of God through Redeemer. I would be lying to you if I didn't say that I would be thrilled if one of you would write a check for $1 million to this church. I would be lying. And I would be a fool if I thought I was above being self-serving and manipulative when it comes to this. Now, let me set the record straight about something else. I am not saying that you should do this. I am simply saying that it is my desire that you would prayerfully consider the possibility of this. I also want you to keep in mind that my wife is sitting right next to you today, and I'm preaching the same sermon to her as well. And she has full access to our resources. You know, talking about money is a difficult thing because the church has a history. I mean, the church, let's be honest, I mean, the church has a history of being manipulative and abusive in regards to raising money. The church has a history of being abusive. And the fact is, I know there's stereotypes about preachers who preach about money. And remember, like Larry said last week, I want you all to like me. A few weeks ago, I invited a neighbor to come to church, and she's promised me she will. And in fact, it was here at school one night I ran into her, and we were sitting right over on that table, and we were talking about the church. And she goes, you know, we've tried three churches in the last couple of years. And she goes, every time we go, they preach about money. And so I got to be honest, I was sort of praying that they wouldn't come today. I really was. I mean, I figured if they did, well, then that was simply God speaking to them, and it wasn't me, all right? You see, talking about money is a difficult and it's an uncomfortable thing because it really makes people feel awkward. I mean, most people are deeply private about their money. I mean, they are. I said to Marlene Baxter in Bible study the other day, I said, let me see your checkbook. And literally, I mean, she was teasing back, but she cringed. You could see the emotion. She goes, no, it's mine. Now I say that because Marlene is no different than the rest of you. I mean, she's not. I mean, money is it's a highly private thing to us. If I were to ask you to stand up and say, how much money do you make? Now, I know there's some of you that would be a little more transparent there, but most people are really private about these things. But the fact is, speaking about money is difficult. But it puts me in good company because Jesus talked about money all the time. Jesus talked about money more than he talked about any other subject. Jesus is the one who said to the rich young ruler, one thing you lack, he said, go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. Jesus is the one who said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Woe to the rich, for you have received your consolation. Jesus is the one who said, whoever does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus is the one who said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is the one who, remember when Zacchaeus gave half of everything he owned to the poor? Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. And I got to tell you, this is only about a fourth of the passage that I found that are kind of that convicting and that shocking. But the fact is, Jesus talked about money all the time. And the reason he talked about money is the very same reason why you and I don't like to talk about money. It is because the way we handle money, the way we handle our resources, reflects what's really important to us. The way we handle our resources exposes what we truly value. The way we handle our resources reveals where our loyalties really do lie. And there's absolutely no way to get around it. The fact is, we devise some ways to try to get around it. We like to divide the world up between the material and the spiritual. We like to divide up the world between the material and spiritual, and we like to think that they don't necessarily go together. But Jesus never makes that distinction. He never separates the material and the spiritual. He just doesn't. Instead, he emphasizes the unity between the two. While the material and the spiritual, they're not exactly the same, they are deeply connected to one another. And they act as mere images of one another. You see, Jesus talks about money all the time. Because how we handle it is a manifestation of spiritual reality. People like Perry always walks around with this chain. Goes from his wallet to his belt buckle, to his belt. Well, God actually, he connects our wallet to the heart. That's why he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's why he says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, evidently, according to our passage today, there's two different ways to live. You can live to store up treasures here on earth, or you can live to store up treasures for yourself in heaven. But it is impossible to do both. You have to choose between them. He says, no one can be a slave to two masters. Some of your translations says, nobody can serve two masters. The word really here isn't, nobody can, you know, serve somebody. No, it's nobody can be a slave to two masters. You cannot be a slave to both God and money. Now, some of your translations, this is interesting. Some of your translations use the word mammon. You cannot be a slave to both God and mammon. Other translations say you cannot be a slave to both God and wealth. And that covers most of them. The NIV says you cannot be a slave to both God and money. But notice something strange. If you got the NIV, notice something there really strange about the word money. It's capitalized. And here's why. You see, the reason it's capitalized is because Jesus is saying something that's really difficult to translate into English. What Jesus is doing here, he is setting money up as a rival God. Okay? That's why it's capitalized in the NIV. And here's why he's setting up money up to be a rival God. Here's the thing. Money, like God, it promises to provide for your needs. Money, like God, it promises to provide for your security. Money, like God, it promises to provide for your pleasure. Not only do they promise to provide, they both God and money, they demand our attention. They demand our time. They demand our respect. They demand our devotion. And they demand our service. And so Jesus says, you cannot be a slave to both God and money. And here's why. Right, here's why. Let me explain this to you. If you are mastered by money, then you try to control God. If you're mastered by money, it becomes God's role to work for you. He simply becomes your assistant. And your orders are properly dictated to him through what we call prayer. You say things like, well, God, if you will give me, fill in the blank, if you'll give me such and such, then I will do so and so. And we're constantly giving our demands and lifting up our needs to God as though he doesn't know what they are anyways. But you say, God, if you will do this, then I will do this. And then when he fails to meet your expectations, or when he fails to perform up to your desired, what you think your desired needs are, you begin to question. You say, well, why won't he get with the program? You see, money acts like a rival God because it demands your attention. It demands your time. It demands your respect. It demands your devotion and your service. And here's the thing. If you treat money right, if you treat it right, it promises. It promises to provide for your needs, for your security, and for your pleasure. And it does. But here's the thing about money. When you mess up, when you sin against money, you will be punished. When you sin against money, you will suffer for it. And it does not care. When you mess up and when you sin against money, it doesn't care. You see, money does not love you. Money is not on your side, and it has absolutely no allegiance. If you neglect or abuse money, it will leave you. You see, money, the fact is, money is a harsh taskmaster who knows nothing but justice. Money is a very harsh taskmaster that knows nothing but justice. You see, with money, there is no forgiveness, and it will not redeem you. You see, Jesus is setting money up as a rival God. He says, you can't serve it because if you're really going to look to money to meet your needs, to meet your desires, to meet your pleasures, then you're going to have to serve it. You're going to have to respect it. You're going to have to labor for it. You're going to have to lay down your life for it. Now compare that, on the other hand, to being mastered by God. If you are mastered by God, then you control your money. If you are mastered by God, then money works for you. And here's the cool thing. Money is a whole lot easier to control than God is. You see, like money, though, God has His demands as well. Jesus said, whoever does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. You see, God has His demands as well. He is a jealous God, and He will not share your affections with another God. Whoever does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Remember what Jesus said to the rich young ruler? He says, go and sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had a lot. And that's when Jesus said, you know, it is just hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Does that sound harsh to you? Does that sound too demanding? Certainly doesn't sound any more harsh than the demands of money. And here's something else you might want to consider. When you mess up, when you sin against God, there is forgiveness. There is redemption. When you mess up, when you sin against God, He knows more than just justice. And here's the thing. Not only does He know forgiveness, but He knows redemption. And He is the Redeemer. He is willing to suffer for you. He is willing to suffer on your behalf. You see, He cares for you. And He loves you. You see, Jesus is setting money up as a rival God. And that's why Jesus says you cannot be a slave to both God and money. It's because if you are mastered by God, then you will resent the demands that wealth puts on you. You'll resent the demands that it makes of you to keep it. But if you are mastered by money, you will resent the demands that God makes of you. You cannot serve them both. Now, I want you to notice something else here in the passage, verse 19 and 20. What it says here is, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I want to make sure you understand, this is not a prohibition against investment. It is not a prohibition against building up wealth. Okay? The key here is, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, finally, Dave's giving us a loophole here. I mean, golly, it's been kind of tough so far. No, I'm not. I am not giving you a loophole. A friend of mine, Tom Williams, he goes to Trinity. You know Tom? You know Tom Williams? He goes to Trinity. Tom came and he went through the financial peace class with us, and he and I become friends. And he told Tom. He told me. He said, "You know, Dave," he said, for years, my wife and I, we talked about what we were going to build this big house so that when the missionaries came to town, they could stay with us." He said, "Yeah, that's what we were going to do." And he said, and now he's lost about $250,000 or something. I mean, he gave me permission to share this, so, but he's really in the hole. I mean, and he came to this financial peace class. He goes, "You know, Dave," he said, "that whole building a big house for a missionary was a bunch of, you know, you fill in the blank." He said, "What a lie." He said, "And I was believing it." He said, "I was using something spiritual to make myself feel good that I could build myself a big house." He goes, "Do you realize if I just took that money that I used to build that big house and put it in the bank, I could put these missionaries up in a hotel year-round." He said, "I wasn't doing it for them. I was doing it for me." You know, it is not wrong to build up wealth. It's wrong to build up wealth for yourself. And a lot of times when we're building up wealth, we tend to make excuses and justify. We kind of look for loopholes, don't we? But the fact is, it does not belong to you. And we hold on to it too tight. It says, but store up for you. So building up treasures for yourself is building up wealth here for ourselves and not realizing that it belongs to God. But what about this store up treasures in heaven? Store for yourselves treasures in heaven. What does that look like? I mean, how do you do it? What is that? What does that mean? Well, if laying up treasures in heaven is the opposite of laying up treasures on earth, then it must mean giving it away. It must mean giving our earthly treasures away. Radical generosity in devotion and service to the kingdom. Let's go back to the story about the rich young ruler. It says a man came up to Jesus, and he asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus went on to say, "If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man required. He's still looking for loopholes. "Which ones?" Jesus said, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery." He lists the big ones, all right? Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't give false testimony. Honor your mother and father. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the guy says, "I've kept all these things," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" And Jesus answered, he said, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. And you will have treasures in heaven." So the way to gain treasures in heaven is to give away our wealth. Young man heard this and he went away sad because he had great wealth. And then Jesus says to his disciples, he said, "I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and they asked, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." I'm not offering a loophole. There's no way around it. You must choose. You must choose which God you will serve. And here's the thing. When we give, when we give, especially when we give generously and sacrificially, we demonstrate to ourselves that Christ is our treasure. We demonstrate to ourselves that we love Him more than we love even our own security or our own comfort. When you give freely and generously because you trust Jesus to take care of you, you are laying up treasures in heaven. So what exactly does that look like? What is this treasure in heaven? That's how we get it, is by giving earthly treasures away. But what is this? Does it mean we're going to have extra big house in heaven when I get there? Is that what it means? I mean, seriously, we ask the questions, don't we? What does it mean? What is our treasure? Does it mean I'm going to have more jewels in my crown when I get there? Does it mean I'll be driving a Yugo and you'll be driving a Mercedes? I don't know. What I really think this means is it simply means that you will increase your joy in God. You will increase your joy in heaven. Jesus says to do this, you cannot serve both God and money. And the key to it is giving it away. The key to it is radical generosity. Now, listen clearly. I am not telling you to cash in your 401ks. I'm not saying that you must give everything. God may tell you to do that, but I'm not saying that you need to do that, all right? He's not calling me to do that at this moment. It is important. I can find plenty of scripture out there that says for you to build up for a rainy day, all right? I can find plenty of scripture out there to say to put money away, all right? But if ultimately that's where we're finding our security in our comfort, then it is a roadblock to really trusting in the Lord. Okay. But, you know, the pastors, we got together and we talked, what does that mean? And so one guy said, well, the way I keep myself in check is I make sure if I'm investing more than I'm giving, that's kind of my measuring. And every pastor there had a different, that I studied with, we all had a kind of a different system that we use. You know? And so my purpose here is not to give you a system, but it is my hope that you would prayerfully consider, is money my God? Because I think probably for more of us than we realize, it could be. Many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not? Did I? You know? We are capable of fooling ourselves. Jesus says, give it away. But are we? I mean, can you imagine what it would be like if we all were gripped by the radical forgiveness? Can you imagine what it would be like if we were all gripped by the radical love and redemption that Jesus has offered us? Can you imagine if we were all radically gripped by the open-handed liberality of what Jesus taught? I mean, can you imagine what it would be like if a church body trusted Jesus to the degree that He says we can? Can you imagine what it would be like if we as a church body rested in the promises that He provides? That if we really looked forward to the glory that He has promised that He's preparing for us? Can you imagine what it would be like if we as a church body experienced the freedom from fear that He has so richly provided? Can you imagine what it would be like if we tasted the freedom that He has set before us? Can you imagine the overflow of mercy and missions and the financial means that would be released among us and among God's church today? You know, as wealthy and rich Americans, we live in the middle of a suffering world that is filled with need. And Jesus says, from everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I like what John Piper said about this. He said, the mere possibility that God might be pleased to release an avalanche of mercy and missions and financial means among us makes this a joy to think about. If you were set free to give the way Jesus talks about, you would be the happiest person, not only in heaven, but on earth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word, but I personally am challenged and convicted. By your word, I pray that you would speak to each of us individually, and that you would help us to experience the true joy that only you can promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.